This is CICK News. The Houston District Council met Tuesday night to tackle budget concerns, infrastructure needs, and community services. I'm sharing with you conversations that delve a little deeper into the BC Emergency Health Services, but as an overall, here are the key decisions that are affecting residents. In the most debated item of the evening, Council approved a 2% property tax increase for 2026, affecting both residential and business properties. This is lower than the original proposed 5% increase. Council acknowledged the economic challenges facing the community following the Canfor mill closure and reduced industrial tax base. One taxpayer spoke during public input, expressing concern that taxes have already risen 21% over the past 2 years.
My taxes went up 21% over the last 2 years, and you guys want to add another 25% over the next 5 years. I'm sure with the Canfor mill shutting down a few years ago, you guys knew that this could come to a head one day, and nothing seems to change. You guys don't mind spending more and more money all the time, right? Do we need a dog park? I really don't think we need to spend money on stuff like that.
Council Lieberman pushed for 0% increases, arguing 2026 is unique given revenue losses and economic uncertainty. However, Councillor Reitzma cautioned against depleting surplus funds, warning that it could lead to dramatic tax hikes in future years.
Most of the retailers, or just about every retailer I talk to, is hurting big time. Their sales are down. Also, we have to be mindful of Finning Tractor. They're still here in the little office, but they're not there anymore. Monster isn't there anymore. Two small stores in the mall have shut down. We need to think about these things. Like, we can argue all these things, and the surplus is there to make it zero for 2026. And that's what we need to do for 2026. We're not serving our taxpayers well if we ask for any increase.
The budget will return for first reading at the next meeting and may still be adjusted. Council approved purchasing a new garbage truck for $427,000 to be financed over 5 years through the Municipal Finance Authority. The current 2016 truck requires excessive repairs that no longer justify keeping it in service. Council also voted to apply for $150,000 from UBCM to update the district's 1998 subdivision and development bylaw. The current bylaw requires infrastructure like streetlights and underground drainage that don't fit Houston's needs. Councillor Riverman and Hogan questioned the high cost.
So as far as I could tell, this bylaw was copy and pasted from a larger center and put into our bylaws, which is why it's not constructed to our needs here in Houston. Why is it going to cost $150,000? To write a new bylaw that says basically the same thing, but with a couple of caveats?
What I hope to do with this bylaw is link up with the master municipal construction documents for design standards and performance standards.
Council received results from a dog park survey showing strong support for maintaining the Paul Gordon Memorial Dog Park year-round. There's also interest in adding a dog park at Jamie Baxter Park. Councillor Mueller strongly opposed adding a third dog park, questioning spending priorities during tough economic times. The item remains in the Jamie Baxter master plans, but has no immediate funding allocated.
I don't know why we're touching this topic. I had a strong opposal of you guys bringing this to the agenda in the first place on touching the Four Seasons Park and looking at building a third dog park, because we already have two dog parks in town. I just don't think that this should be touched at all in regards to, I think I had pretty strong words on it in the beginning, that if it's not broken, why are we fixing it?
The Houston Leisure Facility will see a 3% annual fee adjustment to improve cost recovery. Currently, the facility operates at 14% cost recovery compared to a municipal target of 30%. Fees remain comparable to or below other regional facilities. Council deferred voting on water and sewer fee increases after Councillor Reitzma raised concerns about equity.
If we've done a 12.5% increase to the tied-on rates, then there should be a 12.5% increase. I'm not against an increase. I just want everybody's increase to be the same.
The proposal included a 50% increase for hauled water users, while metered users saw no increase. Staff will return with clarification. Across northern BC, emergency healthcare is defined by distance, geography, and community resilience. In Whitsett, a high school teacher and licensed paramedic is training the next generation of emergency medical responders, giving students the skill to work on ambulances and respond to serious medical calls in their own community. At the same time, Whitsett's emergency program coordinator is rebuilding local fire and emergency management capacity after recent wildfire seasons highlighted just how vulnerable small rural communities can be. It's a grassroots effort to strengthen care closer to home. But emergency response in the north doesn't operate in isolation. Communities like Whitsett rely on a regional system, one coordinated by the BC Emergency Health Services, or BCEHS, where ambulances regularly move between towns like Houston, Smithers, Burns Lake, Hazleton, and Kitwanga to maintain coverage. In Houston, that regional balancing act was the focus of a recent council presentation on March 3rd. Councillor Troy Reitzma raised questions about response times, interfacility transfers, and whether dedicated transfer vehicles could free up frontline ambulances. Meanwhile, Northern District Clinical Operations Director John Burgess spoke about new staffing investments, the clinical response model, and expanded air paramedic training across the top 60% of the province. Together, these conversations paint a larger picture. In Northern BC, emergency healthcare depends not just on policy and funding, but on local people stepping up, from high school students in Whitsett to full-time paramedics stationed in Houston.
My name is Councillor Troy Reitzma. I've been a councillor for the District of Houston now for 7+ years.
In the council meeting notes from Tuesday night's meeting, Houston CAO Gerald Pinchbeck requested that BCEHS present a report to council. Were there concerns or anything specific that council or district staff had regarding ambulance services in Houston?
There wasn't any specific concerns. We do this with RCMP, we do this with various charitable organizations, nonprofits, and whatnot. There's so much information that we need, and this was just one other opportunity for us to find out what exactly was going on.
The nature of emergency services in the north defined by distance and access. In the question and follow-up period after the presentation, you suggested to BCEHS the possibility of the use of a transfer car for what are called IFTs, which is interfacility transfers, to free up alpha cars. So do you believe that Houston Ambulance Services can strike that balance between reducing costs and supplying emergency services?
We were listening to them last night. They gave us some stats.
Between April 1st, 2024 and March 31st, 2025, BCEHS reports on responding to more than 608,000 911 events and completed over 75,000 interfacility patient transfers, or IFTs. This represents a 2% increase in 911 events, with more than 12,000 additional events compared to the previous year, and a 5% increase in interfacility patient transfers, amounting to over 3,800 more transfers than in the previous year of 2023-2024.
And with the limited number of cars that we have, if an alpha car is doing a transfer, that kilo car, which is the second car in station, is kind of stuck there unless there is a call for urgency of death situation, a red call or a purple.
A transfer from Smithers to Burns Lake ties up a car for about 4 hours. That means response times could jump from 90 seconds to 40 minutes for non-life-threatening calls. What efforts has council and district staff made to assist with communications or programs that really help paramedics have more access to be able to deliver medical care or to encourage people in the district to maybe even consider emergency services as a career?
There's several calls that oftentimes the volunteer fire department will attend, depends upon the type of call. If it's somebody's fallen, they don't necessarily need the paramedic immediately, but our first responders will go out and help situation until the paramedics can get there. So and that is something the town bears the cost on, and those volunteers bear the cost on that. And then the other thing that we do is we've put on job fairs. and BC Ambulance Service would be there promoting the fact that there's always jobs available. Currently in Houston, there is one position that's unfilled, and it would be great to have that position filled from somebody local that's interested in that industry.
Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me about this today.
Absolutely, anytime.
Yeah, thanks. My name is Jonathan Burgess. I'm the Clinical Operations Director for the Northern Districts with BCHS, the ambulance service, which covers roughly the top 60% of British Columbia.
Okay, so John, if we can just hop right in, was there a reason that Houston CIO Gerald Pinchbeck requested BCHS to present a report to council at Tuesday night's meeting?
Yeah, so essentially it was just to get an update on BCHS staffing and potential future initiatives. I had just added an additional 24/7 ambulance into Smithers, the neighboring community for Houston, and they wanted the thought process behind that and how that would impact Houston.
Oh, I see. Okay. And the model in Houston also, I mean, it was in 2021, but the model in Houston also changed for dispatching services. I believe it's called the clinical response model. Can you describe what that model is?
Yeah, so the clinical response model has also been in effect for quite a long time. So when an individual calls 911 and is directed to the ambulance service, they go through a series of questions that determine essentially the time sensitivity of the nature of their call. And then they're prioritized into a color coding system with purple being the most severe. This person, you know, needs a response in minutes. Somebody like a cardiac arrest where their heart has stopped beating or choking, something that needs a response right away. Reds, which would be you're having active chest pain or maybe having a stroke. We still want to get to you quickly, but a little less severe than, you know, somebody that's stopped breathing. So that allows us to ensure that we are able to keep resources in community as much as possible to respond to those high time sensitive emergencies.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of resources within communities, I mean, it's pretty obvious. I mean, everyone who lives here too, we kind of know that there has to be collaboration between communities. So how are you seeing that? Is that becoming a necessity for emergency services in the north, or is BCEHS amplify support in communities so that there's less of that reliance?
Yeah, so I think it's a two-pronged approach. So we are putting a lot more resources into communities, especially in the north. We've added, in just the last 12 months, northern operations, just under 10 ambulances into rural remote communities, just about 100 full-time jobs. And so that will help with bolstering supports in a community to ensure that we aren't relying on moving ambulances from community to community quite so much. But the moving from resources or moving ambulances from one community to another community is really an advantage of the provincial system, because if we have no cars in Houston, no ambulances in Houston, and we have two or three ambulances in Smithers, we automatically move one of the ambulances in Smithers to Houston. So that allows us to move ambulances around, assure that every community has an ambulance, as opposed to being an island to themselves. We're working to balance ambulance coverage between communities.
Mm-hmm. And what about air paramedics, like the Alpha Station? Is flight paramedics a part of that?
Yeah, great question. So Alpha is thrown around, and it's a shift pattern. It's essentially Alpha Station is like a 24/7 paramedics are on site waiting for your 911 call or for an interfacility transfer. Our air paramedics are across the province. In the north specifically, we have air paramedics at Fort St. John. The majority of our air paramedics are at Prince George, and we also have air paramedics that work on a helicopter at Prince Rupert. And the new addition to the air paramedic side is that we've added primary care flight paramedics, which is almost like a new license level. It's a whole lot of additional skills that we're adding to primary care paramedics to have them able to facilitate a lot more serious patients in the air environment. And so those primary care flight paramedics operational in Prince George and Fort St. John kind of as we speak, and that will allow us to move a lot more patients with the paramedics we have within air operations.
In the council meeting on Tuesday night, Councillor Stringfellow asked a question about protective services, and that includes things like volunteer firefighters and first responders responding to calls, and the need for potentially a second full-time car in Houston. When you hear that from council or town staff, what's the reality of being able to respond to those needs efficiently?
Yeah, so great question. And I think it's something that we're always reevaluating and looking at call volume and metrics and how often are ambulances on task, how often are they moving? And then we look at it as is both individual community needs, but also larger districts or even provincial needs, just to ensure that we're putting resources where we can, for lack of a better term, to get the biggest bang for our buck. Because, you know, if we only have funding to put on X amount of new ambulances, where are they going to have the biggest impact, you know, provincially, districtly, and in community? And so for Ninchaco, if we want to make it more the statistics and operational need, it made the most sense to put an ambulance at Smithers. And while that will help the communities, that will also help provide that balanced ambulance coverage that we were talking about earlier. That ambulance is then able to cover Houston or Hazleton or Burns Lake if their ambulances are busy. That we're always working towards every community having an ambulance whenever possible.
Well, thank you so much for giving me your time. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
That was John Burgess, Director of Clinical Operations for the Northern District at BCEHS, as well as Houston Councillor Tony Rietzma, speaking about Houston's ambulance service needs and response times. CSK News is funded by the Government of Canada, the Community Radio Fund of Canada, and is a participating station in the Local Journalism Initiative. On behalf of my colleague Dan Messick and myself, Pam Hassan, thanks for listening.